The pair of sentries on the east pier stood gazing glumly out into the darkness. There were very few duties which could possibly match the boredom quotient of watching over the deserted waterfront of a thoroughly blockaded port. Normally, they could at least have looked forward to the possibility of being summoned by the local city watch to help deal with a drunken brawl somewhere. But the seamen whose ships had been caught inside the blockade had run out of money with which to carouse, and the local government had decreed a curfew, if only to get the pestiferous merchant crews off the streets at night, which meant they had absolutely nothing to do except stand there, looking out to sea as if their single-handed devotion to watchfulness could somehow prevent a Carisian attack. Besides, while they stood out here in the dark, they knew perfectly well that the company of army troops, which was supposed to be waiting, poised in instant readiness to respond to any alarm they might raise, was undoubtedly shooting dice in the barracks. It wasn't so much that they begrudged fellow soldiers their entertainment as it was that they resented being excluded from it. Still, one of them heard something over the sigh of wind and steady slopping of waves. He didn't know what it was, but he began turning in its direction just as a brawny arm went around his neck from behind. His astonished hands flew up instinctively, prying at that strangling bar of bone and muscle, but then a needle-pointed dirk drove up under his ribs to find his heart, and he abruptly lost all interest in whatever it was he might have heard. His companion on the far side of the pier had even less warning than that, and Captain Yearly grunted in approval as he climbed up the ladder from his launch, Aplin Armagh at his heels, and observed the two bodies.
"Good work,"
he told the much-tattooed senior seaman who had led the removal of the sentries. The grin he got in reply would have done credit to a kraken, and Yearly wondered once again exactly what the man had done before joining the Navy.
"Probably better not to know," he told himself once more,
and stood back as the rest of the launch's crew swarmed up onto the pier. He counted noses as carefully as he could in the darkness, while the seamen and marines formed up into their prearranged groups. Cutlasses and bayonets glinted dully in the dim lights of the pier's lanterns, and he watched as the marines carefully primed their muskets. The fact that the newfangled flintlocks didn't need a lit length of slow match was a blessing, since it meant they could be carried ready to fire without looking like a lost flock of blink lizards through the darkness. On the other hand, it also increased the possibility of accidental discharges because it deprived a musketeer of that visual cue that his weapon was ready to fire. Which was why Yearly had given specific, bloodthirsty orders about the dreadful fate awaiting anyone who had dared to prime his musket during the long boat trip in.
"Besides, if I'd let them, the spray would damned well have soaked the priming."
"Ready, sir,"
Lieutenant Simon said quietly, and Yearly turned to find the younger officer at his elbow. Simon, he observed sourly, was almost beaming in anticipation.
"Good," he said, instead of what he was actually thinking. "Remember, wait until you hear the grenades."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
Simon said, as if Yearly hadn't made exactly that same point in the pre-attack briefings at least three times.